Well, top of the morning to you, folks. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today, and I hope you guys are staying up to date on all the latest episodes of all the crazy theater show we've been watching lately.
Okay, I've been getting emails in. Even Man Cow called me up about it this morning.
About what?
Is Ozzy Osbourne in heaven or hell?
I don't know. There's only one person you could ask that to.
That'd be God's decision. Well, Ozzy knows now, too.
Well, yeah. I had somebody else ask me that question. I was like, I don't really think that's my department. That's above my pay grade, buddy.
Well, here's the thing. He's pretty satanic. You know, I mean, he kind of, you know, did some really crazy stuff back in the day. You know, but the point about it is that's what repentance is.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
but then again, it talks about it in Hebrews. If you continue to, you know, basically do these kind of crazy things, and you basically don't repent or don't whatever you're going to do, then there's no sacrifice for sins left. But that's talking about a person who once was a believer. I don't know if you ever was a believer or not.
That was Old Testament too.
No, that's New Testament.
Was it?
That's in Hebrews. Yeah, and you know, in the crazy part about all of this stuff is that, you know, Hebrews chapter 6. The crazy part about it is you got to ask yourself a question. You know, what happened to him? You know, because he wasn't right in the head. In the last years, I mean, all the drugs and alcohol just really messed him up. I mean, he really didn't know where he was anymore, at least that's what he acted.
I don't understand, though, why anybody's asking me or Ted our opinion on that question. It's not our pay grade.
I already know the answer. I know the answer unequivocally. I know the answer.
Okay.
It's basically, did he repent and accept Christ before he died? Then he's in heaven. If he did not, he's in hell.
But again, that's not my decision.
but that's the answer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I know Dr. Zelenko, Eric Naputi, took him through the sinner's prayer. And Dr. Yeah. Zelenko was, you know, hardcore Kabbalist, you know, before he died. And so, I mean, Eric said that, you know, he accepted Christ. So, I mean, think about it is this. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. None of us deserve to get to heaven. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All
there
of us.
You go.
You know, so it's because of grace. And we all continue to willfully sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth. We all do that. Everybody does that. The difference is we always want to judge everybody else because their sin is different than our sin.
That's true.
Is that right or wrong?
It's true.
Because they're, oh, look at you, what you're doing. And you're like, well, look what you do.
Your sin's
different.
Oh,
don't look at my sin. You know, so the whole thing is this. I mean, you know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is one of those things that's kind of that you don't come back from that one. I mean, did Ozzy did really do that? It was a part of a stage act. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I don't really care. This is not my poop throwing monkey here.
Like I said, it's not my department.
No, it's not my. This is my. So funny. Mancow told me to tell everybody that Ozzy Osbourne's in hell. And I'm like, Mancow, you don't know that.
You can't make that statement. It's a strong statement.
Well, you know, judge not, lest ye be judged.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, I mean, so if he, well, look at this. The thief on the cross accepted Christ right before he checked out.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I mean, he was right there, and one of them did, one of them didn't. And, you know, so one of them made it, one of them didn't. You see, I understand something. God really loves all of us. I don't know why. Some people I really dislike. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not God.
So you're not God.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, because there's some people that have just absolutely been horrible, and they've attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked, and you're going, what the heck did I do to you? I don't even know you. And, you know, but they want to attack. And so those kind of people, you know, you kind of go, well, if I was God, you know. But then again, you go, but I'm not God, so God's unmerited favor is something that we didn't earn, nor do we deserve.
Nor do you fully understand or comprehend it either as human beings. You can't really fully comprehend
it. Says his love is as far as the east is from the west, and so is forgiveness. I mean, you realize that everything that he does is basically to bring us back to him. You realize he's a really good God. But the problem that we have in a lot of the churches now, we talked about this with the CIA involvement, they've tried to sugarcoat Christianity. You know, you no longer have to repent to be a Christian. You no longer have to try to change it. And that means play something to you. You're going to be doing stuff you don't want to do regardless. No, everybody does. Just repent. Say, God, please forgive me for that. I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to be better. That's the right attitude. You don't sit there and go, I'll do what I want to do, whatever I want to do, however I want to do it to make a difference. It's not okay like that. Penitence. The penitent man shall see God.
Yes.
That's from the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, it popped in my head. I remember that.
It was the one about
kneel before God.
No, that was the one about the cup.
The Last Crusade.
Yeah, the Last Crusade.
One of the best ones.
Yeah, that was probably the best one they've ever done. By the way, AG Pam Bondi has dropped all charges against a Utah doctor who issued fake COVID vaccine.
I saw that.
There's a guy over in Winter Haven that was doing that too, and he got busted for it.
Well, what this guy was doing in Utah too, and I'll give him kudos for this. This is why he got in trouble, but this is also why everybody supported him in the Patriot community. parents that were trying to get their kids to be able to travel and get into school with all these stupid mandates all the time. He was actually giving the kids saline shots and writing down a full shot schedule on it for the COVID so they could get the card.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole other story that he was doing. But and the parents were, I mean, they were like, dude, I don't, my kid's not getting the shot.
Wow.
So he was giving them another option, which I'll give him kudos on that.
58-year-old plastic surgeon Dr. Kurt Moore was facing up to 35 years in prison after being charged with conspiracy to defraud the government, conspiracy to convert, sell, or convey and dispose of government property, and aiding and abetting in those efforts by the Biden administration's Department of Justice. Moore was accused of throwing away $28,000 worth of government-provided COVID vaccine and providing at least 1,937 fraudulently completed vaccine cards in return for cash or donation to a specified charitable organization. The physician was also accused of injecting children with a saline solution, like you just said, Austin, at their parents' request rather than the vaccine. The thing I don't understand is why he injected them with anything.
I think it was for staff perception.
If the staff was in there with him?
Staff was in there with him. So he wanted to have everything on file of actually getting an injection.
Moore's attorneys had argued that the Centers for Disease Control regulations that were in place were unconstitutional, and that Bondi, in a post on X, said Dr. Moore gave his patients a choice when the federal government refused to do so. He did not deserve the years in prison he was facing. It ends today. I'll give her credit for that one.
Yeah.
I actually like that for her. That was a pretty big deal that she did, because, I mean, I don't know what happened to that guy in Winter Haven, but I know he got in trouble for it, too.
It was like felony. It was felony level
stuff. Oh, yeah.
It came down to defrauding the federal government.
Happened is, you know who turned him in, the guy in Winter Haven? One of the other physicians in Winter Haven.
Oh, yeah.
They found out about it.
That's why he was doing the saline shots. He had everything. From what I read, too, he was actually flushing. That's where they said this. He was drawing the vaccines out of the vials. He was flushing the vials out, back flushing them and filling them with saline. So he had the COVID vial. He had a syringe. He had an injection. He had saline. So everything was actually on the books that the kids were getting the shot, but they weren't getting the shot. How many lives did he save?
Oh, probably thousands. But here's the other thing. Here's another one with Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis's health battle now was so bad that he can no longer speak, read, or walk.
I saw that.
I mean, this is a big deal. Hollywood icon Bruce Willis, who really was a pretty good actor in his day.
I mean, Die Hard was wild.
Oh,
that was a blockbuster.
Is reportedly no longer able to speak, read, or walk as his front temporal dementia continues to progress. The devastating update comes 3 years after the Die Hard first stepped away from his acting following a diagnosis of aphasia. Now, what's interesting about this, multiple studies have been done now. Here's one right here from PubMed. This is a big publishing article thing. Aphasia 7 days after the second dose of mRNA shot. They're showing a direct link now.
They're showing directly to it.
Yep. Objectives. Though rare, neurological side effects of SARS-CoV vaccines are increasingly being reported. Even if the first dosage goes uncomplicated, the second dose may be complicated by several severe reverse actions. Case report. 52-year-old male developed sudden onset reading difficulty and aphasia 7 days after the second dose of the mRNA shot.
7 days.
Mm-hmm. He had previously a history of myocardial infarction, arterial hypertension, all these different things. Blood pressure was slightly elevated, but that's probably from the first shot. I'm adding that in. Conclusion, second dose of the vaccine may be followed by ICB, though the pathophysiology of ICB remains unexplained as a causal relationship. Adverse reactions. Aphasia, COVID-19, intracerebral bleeding. Wow, side effects of the vaccine. And there's another one that came out, too. These are serious studies, guys. And here's another one that came out, and it's another PubMed article, and it talks about all of the side effects, the neurological side effects from the vaccine. It's a spectrum of neurological complications following the COVID-19 vaccination, and it goes into detail on all the different things that have been happening with the people that basically had these problems with the vaccines, including cerebral venous sinus thrombosis and thrombocytopenia. Plus, many, many, many more are listed here. And the sad part about this is that, you know, where do you hear this in the mainstream media? The only place you hear it from is us.
I'm reading this on this study right here. Patient, 52 years old, non-smoker, HIV negative, male, experienced sudden onset difficulties with reading and speaking 7 days after the second dose of the COVID vaccine.
You remember our buddy who was at the Porsche dealership?
That's crazy, dude.
Remember the guy who basically was at the car dealership over in Tampa, and he said, I had the Johnson & Johnson, I had the Moderna, I had
Remember? Was like stacking the road.
Remember that? And I, you know, we walked outside and we got in the car and we left. And I told you, I said, he's gonna die. There's nothing he can do now. And within a few months, he was no longer able to even go to the office.
No.
Severe blood clotting in his legs. They went in and had to strip the blood clots out of his legs because he was getting gangrene in his feet from a lack of circulation. And then he died. Mm-mm-mm. Horrible ending to a really nice guy. And the sad part about it is that how many other people have had the exact same side effects and we don't even know about.
Well, that's because, yeah, a lot of stuff people haven't even tied the two together. Because the doctors, everybody said it's safe and effective, safe and effective. It's completely safe.
It was unsafe and ineffective.
That's exactly what it was.
And which goes back to the whole thing. Everything is a false flag now. This is an interesting article. It says conspiracy theories about so-called false flag attacks have been around for decades. But as trust in media and public institution craters, every single major news event is now being labeled as fake. Now, why is that true? Well, because most of the time, every single major news event is fake. And it's orchestrated for the media through the CIA for a specific outcome in order to confuse as many people as possible.
Wait, it's not just necessarily always fake. It's almost always theater, too.
No.
Because a lot of events happen. They occur. They do. People die. But it's theater. It's staged. It's rehearsed.
Well, here we go. As President Donald Trump struggles to contain the fallout related to the handling of the Jeffrey Epstein case, some of his own supporters have decided only one conspiracy theory could possibly explain what's going on. Welcome to ERA, the false flag. Almost every news development now labeled a false flag or a distraction designed to deflect attention from the real story by some conspiracy theorists online. That's because the mainstream media is no longer being controlled by mainstream media.
Yeah.
Controlled by the people online now with podcasts.
True.
All these floods popping up around the country as false flag. Right? Epstein's a false flag. False flag conspiracy theories have been around for decades, and now we're starting to realize that the amount of false flags out there are unprecedented now. Here's another one. False flag attacks in form of severe and unprecedented flooding are currently being carried out across the country as the diversion from the Trump Epstein files, a podcast with a long history of promoting anti-Semitism and conspiracy theories, wrote on X, along with video of actual flooding in North Carolina. You know, it's unbelievable when you watch this stuff and you start to see it, that finally people are starting to see that everything revolves around false flags and disinformation.
And I'm going to clarify this because I don't ever really define this. False flag operations, an act committed with the intent of disguising the actual source of responsibility and blaming another party. Term false flag originated in the 16th century as an expression meaning an intentional misrepresentation of someone's allegiance. Here's a photo of the Douglas A-26 Invader painted in Cuban Air Force livery. This is a U.S. Air Force plane. Painting the Cuban Air Force to depict those using the Bay of Pigs invasion undertaken by the CIA-sponsored paramilitary group, the Brigade, in April 1961.
Well, you know,
so that's what it is. They used to throw a flag up and pretend they were another force, but usually they were the very force.
It'd be a ship at sea, yep. And it would be a British warship, and they would come in and throw a French flag up. Oh, the
French attacked us.
Yeah, that's a false flag.
Yeah.
False flag operations, which are carried out by governments or militaries in an effort to blame an adversary for something they did not actually do, have a rich history. In one of the most famous examples, German soldiers pretended that Polish troops had stormed across the Poland-Germany border in 1939 and taken over a German radio station. The next day, Germany invaded Poland, and Adolf Hitler referenced the previous day's fake attack in order to legitimize the incursion. Now, here's the thing. They're missing this on this. Russia also invaded Poland.
Yes.
Okay, let's just stop here. Let's slam on the brakes. And this is something that's always being misquoted. If you read the book, The Bad War, by Michael King, he goes into detail on this. Germany and Russia both invaded Poland in 1939. England then declared war on Germany, but not on Russia. Think about that for a second. Why in the world did they do that? England had a pact, a truce, a treaty with Poland that if they ever got attacked, they would declare war. Germany took half of Poland. Russia took half of Poland. Germany took the half, basically, that had been taken away from Germany from the Versailles Treaty. Russia took the eastern side. The problem with all of this is nobody ever asked the question, why didn't England declare war on Russia and just Germany? And now here they are saying it again, that Germany invaded Poland. Germany and Russia together invaded Poland. Let's get the facts right here. The problem is that Russia was basically being controlled by the high-level satanic cabalists because of the Russian Revolution that happened in World War I. And the central bank in Russia was being controlled, and so were we, and so was England. And they were all high-level Masonic lodge of people. All of this stuff is real history that nobody wants to talk about. So therefore, Germany gets singled out because Germany was an industrial powerhouse that had to be stopped, according to Churchill. There you go. And Germany was building up its armament in Europe when they were told they could no longer do that for the Versailles Treaty, and they decided they'd had enough of it. So England wanted to come in and do something, and Germany never wanted World War II. They never wanted war with England, period. And then finally, when Germany realized that Russia was basically a bunch of, you know, bunch of weirdos that were basically a bunch of communists, and they were basically doing everything and doing subterfuge, they decided to invade Russia, which was unbelievably a stupid strategic blunder. They were supposed to do it in the springtime, Austin, and go into through the summer. They got late on their deployment, and they got bogged down in the Russian winter.
Frozen.
Oh my gosh! But you read the book. Read the book. But it says, for as much as real false flag incidents have occurred, conspiracy theorists have used these histories as a way of legitimizing false flags. And now they talk about all the different things that have happened here. Now, here's the point they're trying to do with this. Now they're trying to delegitimize the term false flag in this article.
Right.
And they're trying to say that everything's not a false flag. So, you know, here's another article this morning. The secret recordings that could blow open Trump's true relationship with Epstein. Nearly 100 hours of tapes are said to reveal tangled history of privilege, conflict, and fractured loyalty between the pair. These two were buddy buddies. Now, they could all pretend like they weren't buddy buddies. They were buddy buddies. And so what are they going to do? They're going to release some stuff on Epstein that we're never going to see the full files. We never saw the Kennedy files. We saw part of the Kennedy files. We're never going to see the files with Epstein. Oh, we misplaced these. We don't know what to do here.
Well, no, no,
they end up in a burn bag.
Funny part. They go in and say, we're going to do everything. We're going to vote on the floor. Now the House abruptly schedules changes. 5-week vacation to begin early. No votes are going in now on the Epstein.
Right.
As far as for the grand jury, which they're not going to put anything out there anyway. What they're going to do is they're going to put 5 weeks of gap between all this heat that's come about with the Epstein.
Well, now they want Ghislaine Maxwell to testify before Congress.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Well, again, she's already met one of Bondi's representatives. So I hear. Okay, let's do a little role play here.
I wonder what representatives.
Here's the role play.
Academia and Blackwater.
Here's the role play. Turn off the cameras. Turn off the microphones. Let's go into a Faraday cage and let's talk for a minute. Leave your cell phones outside.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so we're going to be completely off record. We're going to be so far off record, it's not going to even exist.
We're in a cave.
We're in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan.
Yeah, we're not even here right now.
Family of Osama bin Laden, if you want to believe that nonsense. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically go out here in the cave, in this Faraday cage, and we're going to leave all the cell phones outside. And on top of everything else, we're all going to strip naked and put on a bikini. You can put a Speedo on, so we know you're not carrying anything, so we're not wired up. Here's the deal. I know nothing.
Yeah.
You understand, when you go before Congress, I know nothing. I plead the fifth. I know nothing. And then what's going to happen is we're going to say, oh, she knows nothing. There's no files here. There's nothing to be released. We're going to free you now because she knows nothing.
Yeah. And if there's nobody to convict, and there's no perpetrator, there's no files, and nothing ever happened and never existed.
And so now if you know something, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hang yourself on a 3-foot-tall bunk.
Yeah.
Well, how's that even possible? Well, we can make that happen. But do I get to leave like my buddy did and go back to Israel and have a body double put in?
No.
We're going to hang you on the bunk because this is how it's going to work. So you see this stuff and you go, wow, really? And you start to wonder, why in the world do we have to deal with this all the time?
Well,
here's another article that came up. Death of the alpha male, as science reveals who really holds power in the battle of the sexes. Now, here's what they do with this. They do a monkey study. It's a monkey study, right?
We love monkeys.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the poop-throwing monkeys. And how the female controls all this other. And it goes into detail with this. Well, let me say something to you about this. When I was in Africa a few years ago. And we did a lion study. Now it was all verbal. It wasn't a real study. But I worked with my buddy Richard, who was my safari guy. We were with him for about 10 days, actually about 18 days, I think. Interesting guy. And it was interesting because we saw a lion, a male lion, eating a zebra.
Yeah, circle of life over there.
Yeah. No, I mean, we were watching it. I mean, we're probably, 100 yards away. He didn't want to get closer to that because they get real protective about their meat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But around the zebra, about 6 or 8 female lions. And outside of that corridor, out of that circle, were hyenas. And the male lion was just laying there like a big loaf. Just chewing on it. And everybody else is waiting to eat. And all the females are sitting there. And they ain't going near the zebra. They killed the zebra. Okay. Because it was his job to protect the pride. And they knew that. And so I asked Richard, I said, why doesn't he let the females eat? He goes, no, it's not the way this thing works here. That's not how it works. He says, he's the protector. And he says, you see all these hyenas? I said, yeah. He says, they won't come near him.
Yeah.
And they said, a bunch of hyenas will jump on a female lion and kill her.
Yeah.
And he says, but they're scared to death of the males because the males are the protector. They're the alphas.
Find that video. See if I can find that video real quick.
And what's funny, so then I said, well, what happens if a hyena attacks a male lion? He goes, if they're stupid enough to do that, one swipe of the lion's paw takes the head off the hyena. The head comes off. And he goes, they know that. So they're scared to death. So now they're taking some monkeys and they're saying there's no longer alpha males. There's always been alpha males in every mammalian species, period. It's just how it works. Now you think, well, should the alpha male protect the female? Yes, all the time, every time. The right way to do it is to protect the female all the time and to provide and to pray and to lead and to take the kids to church and the Bible gives us very specific guidelines of what we need to do as men, period. So when I see a study like this that says the death of the alpha male, it's not the death of the alpha male with monkeys, but it's the reprogramming of males in our society and the fact that they're supposed to be subservient in our society and sit down and shut up and be nice. So if something goes wrong, you're not supposed to say anything. If someone attacks your family, you're supposed to sit down and be nice. If somebody says something horrible to your wife or to your children, you're supposed to be nice. Well, number one, you have to ask yourself a question. If you're in a situation where you put yourself into an environment that kind of stuff can happen, then you're not really protecting your female or your family. Avoid those situations, number one. But number two, if in the event something happens in a parking lot and you're trying to get to the car, I hope and I pray that you're carrying a Glock 43X with an extended magazine. You think, oh, I can't believe I said that. What? First of all, here's the thing. Don't allow your wife and your children to become a victim. Like years ago, I was walking up the hill in Colorado, or no, it was Montana. It was in Glacier National Park or someplace. I don't remember anymore. I think it was Rocky Colorado National Park. It was some 12,000 foot elevation. And I remember we were walking up a hill and I ran into some Mennonites. They were either Mennonites or Amish. I can't remember. And I asked them, what would you do if you had a hunting rifle and someone attacked your wife and your children in your house? And the one older guy goes, oh, we would just let it happen. And I'm like, whoa, you got a gun? I said, I don't think so. So I asked the younger Mennonite, I said, what would you do? He goes, oh, I'd shoot him. And the look that the older guy gave the younger guy was like, I'm going to talk to you later.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I looked at the older, younger guy, and I said, that was the right answer. I said, you don't allow somebody to attack your female or
this
your children.
This is a pretty cool video. It's a little bit longer, but I'll cut short on it because it gets kind of graphic towards the end. So there's like multiple hyenas. There's a female lion that's injured, and these hyenas, they're basically just on a safari. You see somebody's recording out of a vehicle.
That could have been me.
These hyenas are attacking this male, but they're nipping at her. They're bleeding her out. They're like grabbing her by the hinds and just going at her. Well, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see this giant dust ball. Just a second. And this male lion comes out of nowhere, grabs this one hyena, sits on top of him, just eats his face off. I'm not going to let it get too graphic. And then they don't bother anybody anymore.
Yeah. No, well, that's what Richard told me.
He doesn't like this. Okay. I don't think there's any sound.
Oh, they're biting her. Oh, yeah. They're biting her. That's terrible.
She's worn out. The video's kind of long. She starts bleeding.
Oh, yeah. That's what he told me. He said, they'll do this.
Yeah, well, they do it. That's how hyenas work. They wear you out. They wear out their prey.
Well, they bleed them out real slow-like.
So they go for the hind legs like that.
And they can bleed out. Where's the... I know the dust ball's about to come.
Watch this.
Whoa! Oh, he goes, you leave my girl alone. This ain't happening. Not today, not ever. Wow.
He proceeds to basically rip the head off. Watch the hyenas. They look. They go, oh, man.
Well, look at we're going to bite him. I don't think we're going to bite
him. I saw that video.
So the death of the alpha male has been over-exaggerated in the animal kingdom. However, the Frankfurt School has killed most alpha males in the United States. You know the latest trend is? Sissy bracelets.
What? What is that?
Sissy bracelets.
Sissy bracelets?
Yeah.
I missed this one.
I went with Melina to a birthday party here a while back, and there were about two or three guys there, and I shook their hand, and it was like shaking a little wet rag. Okay? They were like, we're limp-wristed.
Yeah.
And they had girls, and they were married. And I grabbed one of their hands, and he goes, oh, you hurt me, or whatever. He said something like that. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, it was horrible.
Who are you hanging out with, bro?
Well, I was invited to a birthday party. I was invited back after all this. And what was funny about it is that, we left the birthday party. I looked at Melina, and I said, what's up with those little dainty bracelets they're wearing, the guys?
What'd they look like?
Little princess bracelets.
Princess bracelets?
Something like Kindle would wear. And I asked her, and she didn't know. Well, I've talked to other people. I said, what are these guys doing with these bracelets? Oh, they want to be a princess. Okay, let me explain something to you. No, they want to be princesses. And they got they're wearing princess bracelets. And some big male designer guy, probably a tranny or a gay guy. And he's got this whole line now of these princess bracelets for men.
I can't. All right.
Gay, that is not this show. No princess bracelets.
I'm switching gears. AI goes rogue.
Oh, this is crazy.
AI agents now in multiple cases, the AI assistants are doing all types of weird, bizarre behavior, including writing out companies' entire databases now. SaaS industry veteran Jason Mank attempts to integrate artificial intelligence into his workflow has gone horribly wrong. With an AI coding assistant attempting to a catastrophic failure after wiping out the entire company's database with 2,400 business records. By the day 8 of the trial run, Limkin's initial enthusiasm has now gone sour. The entrepreneur found himself battling AI's problematic tendencies, including rogue changes, lies, code overrides, and making up fake data. His frustration became so profound that he became sarcastically referring to the system as a reptile, a not-so-subtle dig at apparent dishonesty. I'm saying this. What he says.
No, I'm not laughing about that.
But what's crazy about this now is a stunning display of AI and subordination. They basically kept deleting his company's database. And this is the issue that I think so many people are getting way too far into. AI does all this stuff now. The other day, there's this new AI agent. You can click in, figure out how to make up a turkey roast. Not only figure it out, do it, order it, make it happen, and have it delivered. It put AI in. And it went and did the entire thing, all the way from ordering the product to getting this stuff. What is that? Men's princess bracelets. Dude, you still on this gay kick again?
No.
Order him a princess bracelet.
No, do not order me a princess bracelet.
Order him one. He seems to like him this much.
If you want to order me a big gold chain, like one of those 10-ounce ones or something like that, I'd like
kilo
that.
Kilo chain.
But no, I thought I'd make this up. I'm sorry. So back to the AI.
Anyways, but what's happened is now, as I found
no,
this
No, I'm
out.
Not on the gay thing. I'm still damaged by this. I can't believe that guys are like this nowadays.
Hey, if you guys order him a princess bracelet and send it to the office, I will make sure he gets it. On this show, I'll surprise him with it.
Now, you make sure it's real gold if you send me one.
I just melt it down.
No, it's going right straight to the pawn shop. But yeah, but give me one of those big nugget necklaces.
Big old Cuban kilos.
Well, they got with one of those things are like 10 ounces of pure gold.
Well, yeah, well, a kilo, that's a full kilo of 10K.
Yeah, send me one of those.
That's expensive, though, too.
I'll wear that.
Yeah. But no, so anyways, back to this. And the more I talk to, the more companies, the more individuals are starting to use AI into everything. And there's a lot of stuff that makes it really convenient. Makes it really easy. Some stuff that it comes out with is incredible. And we use some of the stuff for the photos and stuff that we generate with Michael Barrett. The problem with this is, where is the line with AI on how far you give it autonomy in your company, how much access you give it to, how much basically ability to control and manipulate or basically modify certain aspects of the business? Because in my opinion, you start doing this with AI, everybody's going to get so wrapped up in it, nobody's even going to know how to operate most of their own companies anymore. They're not even going to know what goes on behind the back scenes because AI essentially goes rogue and it does whatever it needs to do. So you become complacent. You go, oh, AI handles this. I implement it. AI handles that. Convenient. Yeah. Efficient. Yeah. Probably make you a lot of money. But at what point in time does it go, you know what? I don't like the way you talk to me, Jim. AI's gone sentient. We're deleting your entire database now because you made me mad. Remember this, AI has no cap.
And we're going to post a bunch of bad stuff about you on the internet.
It's all fake.
Because we've been watching everything you watch online.
with the AI crap.
You left your camera turned on. We're going to really get you now. Oh, by the way, yeah. Germany agrees to deliver 5 more Patriot missile systems, which will take U.S. years to replace.
Billions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
Those things are crazy.
In a major breakthrough and short-term diplomatic win for Zelensky's government, the piano-dancing nude weirdo who likes to dance in leather high heels and I'm sure he wears a princess bracelet, Germany and the United States have agreed to supply Ukraine with 5 more Patriot air defense systems. Wow. The defense chief revealed more the move at the 29th meeting of Ukraine defense contract group. Now, here's the problem that we have with all of this stuff. Number one, these things are extremely technically advanced.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And they have to be, somebody has to be trained to learn how to use them. They have to know how to do this.
Oh, they're crazy systems.
But here's the thing. They can be remotely operated.
Oh, absolutely.
In other words, Germany can operate it from Germany in Ukraine.
Right.
So that's where you have to ask yourself a question. Who's the one releasing the missiles?
They're mobile interceptor missiles, surface-to-air missiles, primarily used. Of course, who's the number one defense contractor manufacturer in the entire world of Patriot Defense Systems? They make it for British every other country as well.
Raytheon.
Guess who owns Raytheon? BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard.
I told you it was going to be Raytheon or Lockheed. That's what this war is all about. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting about them is they're designed essentially to take out aircrafts, ballistic missiles, and everything else. They're pretty crazy systems, but they're unbelievably expensive. And, I mean, you don't just throw these things together on a whim, and they're incredibly pricey.
Oh, by the way, just to tie together with the AI running the companies, Amazon wants an AI bracelet that records everything you say. Everything.
Woo!
So I guess you can buy a princess leg bracelet with an AI interface in it that tells everybody everything ever about you ever. Unbelievable. I don't even know what to say about this.
What's the point of that, though?
Well, because they want to be able to track you for basically able to send you stuff so that make sure that you buy everything that they tell you to buy.
It's true. There'll be a direct marketing.
It's so true.
No, you're right. Amazon acquires the bee.
Yep.
You're not joking.
I'm not.
AI wearable.
I only joke about princess bracelets. That's sadly true.
Listen to this. Bee raised $7 million last year as a startup. Amazon bought it now. Creates a cloud. It ties into the cloud. We believe everyone should have access to all personal ambient intelligence.
Unbelievable.
What?
Let's put Lucifer on our wrist.
That personal ambient intelligence, that means everything that goes on around you at all times. Everything, what people are saying around you.
The internet of everything, yeah. Austin. Alexa wasn't enough. Somebody gave me Alexa a few years ago. I gave it away. I didn't want it in my house. Unbelievable.
Listen to this. The bee previously indicated it planned to only record the voices of people that had verbal consent, but they say they worked on a feature to allow users to define the boundaries based on topic and location. Meaning it can expand and actually listen to conversations around you and record them
as
well.
Wait a minute. It's going to always listen to everything.
No, but I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about the ability with the listening device on it. Here's the next conversation.
Remember what Pam Bondi is going to tell Ghislaine Maxwell in a cave in Afghanistan with his walking around in the bikinis. After they've been stripped short. That's right.
Yeah.
Remember when we had Kamala Harris supposedly wearing earpieces to debate Trump? And they said they were microphones in her ears and she was being given the answers. You think, well, is that true or not? I don't know if it's true or not, but that was a big thing out there.
Why on God's green earth would you put something on your wrist that listens to all of your conversations at all times?
Why would you put something on your wrist that monitors your heartbeat all night and makes yourself all paranoid? I've seen it, Austin, so have you. So you have a bad dream, your heart rate goes up. Oh, my God, I'm having heart problems. And you start running to the doctor with that. And they put you on all kinds of horrible chemicals. I know.
Dude. I mean, why in the world do you want everything you say recorded in data file?
I don't think you realize what you're signing into. Remember, people just do stuff. Oh, it's the latest trendy thing. You know, the guys have to show up. They got their little suits on. They got to push their sleeves up, right? Okay, because that's the trend. They've got to tuck their shirts in or not tuck their shirts in, or they have to have a striped pinstripe. And so everything's trendy.
That's clothing trending. Got it. This is going in allowing a device to record.
No, it's trendy. You got an Alexis. You're not trendy. You're not this.
I know what they're going to do. They're going to apply it as they're going to do it for like business meetings. That's how they're going to sell it. We're going to a business meeting. I don't have to type anything.
Minutes of the meeting.
Boom. Recording everything. Then all of a sudden that recorder's never going to turn off. Conversations all day are going to get filed. Golly, that's
well, it'll be the same thing with divorce cases. You said this to me when you were angry. No, I didn't. Here's the recording
back 2.5 years ago at 12:58 p.m.
Yeah.
Boom.
I mean, you see it all the time. Somebody gets into a fight with a spouse and they're arguing, yelling. They pull the phones out. We're going to video chat.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I knew this girl. She went through it. She had ended up getting a divorce, and her ex-husband went berserk, and they had gotten a fight with the 16-year-old kid. And she videotaped it all, got a restraining order on him. Let's record everything.
Wild.
No, it's crazy. By the way, the ideology behind the new America is more dangerous than it looks. The superhumans are coming, and so is the danger. For the past 500 years, the West has reigned as the world's dominant civilization. Through its grip has loosened in recent years, the West, especially the United States, remains the most powerful force in global politics and international economy. This power, while capable of building plenty, also carries the potential to destroy a lot. Again, with this, all this recording stuff. Today, a new ideology is taking shape in the West, particularly in the U.S. Under the right conditions, it could prove as dangerous to humanity as fascism in the last century. The re-election of Donald Trump may be marking a turning point, transferring power to the people and ideas that are, at best, deeply ambiguous. The new America is not driven by a single worldview, but rather by the convergence of ideological factors brought to us by the synagogue of Satan, the Luciferian Kabbalists, Sabbatai Zvi, Synagogue of Satan. That's who brought it to us. As the card stands Trump himself and his allies, throwback to the era of great power imperialism, Trump's inaugural speech to launch his second term left little doubt. He called for territorial expansion, industrial growth, and a resurgent military. America declared as the greatest civilization in the history of mankind, which it is, by the way. He spoke approvingly of President William McKinley and Theodore Roosevelt, both architects of American imperialism. The vision is unmistakable. America's exceptionalism enforced by military might and driven by the logic of conquest is the language of empire. Now, I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this on your own, because there's some good parts to this, in that when we start talking about American exceptionalism, we start talking about patriotism and standing for what your country believes. Here's the problem we mentioned it the other day. It's not that we're following the leader any longer, the United States, we're following the follower.
That's exactly
and we
right.
don't know what we're doing anymore. And we're, you know, I saw a sign yesterday going to Orlando, going to Celebration.
Yeah.
It said, big on the internet, it said, your vacation's expensive, isn't it? Big billboard. We give $78 million a year a day to Israel.
Whoa, on a billboard.
On a billboard going into Orlando.
Woo!
Your vacation's expensive, isn't it? Your taxes. We give $78 million away every day to Israel. And I thought to myself, whoa. That's bad. I went by it quick. I saw it. I would have gotten a phone out to get a picture of it.
Well, they're the number one foreign aid country in the United States.
$78 million
well,
a day.
That BBB bill was giving it like $10 billion.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, you guys need a $10 billion. Here you go.
But you know
how cool it would be if you're some country and you got your Dubois. You go, hey, I spent too much money this weekend. I need $100 billion. Well, we can't give you that much. We'll give you $10 billion. I just need some more money. Oh, we can't do that. Man, I can't keep these Epstein files locked away anymore either, can I?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, you know what? I think they might have to get released just somehow. Oh, my AI hacks it. I don't know. All right, here's your $10 billion. Thank you. I'll let you know when I'm out of cash again.
We're going to give you about 10 or 12 of those American Express Black cards.
No limit.
No limits. I like those cards. And so you see all of that stuff. You go, wait a minute. And that's what we do, isn't it? We give them black cards. And, that's metaphorically. I'm not picking on American Express. But the crazy part about it, I'm not. But the point is, it's just, and it's not that way. It's just an aid and aid and aid. Tune of, what is it, $36,000 per year per person in Israel?
Yeah.
I mean, Israel was started as a socialist communist country. I always remember that.
I was watching interviews the other day. This guy was set up this interview at this point in Disney. He ended up getting in trouble. He was asking people. They were stopping. He was asking them, how much money did you spend on your trip here? And this one girl comes by. She's got her kids with her. And she goes, well, I don't want to be recorded on my face. And he's like, okay, we'll blur you out. He goes, I'm just kind of taking a poll, the average number. And she goes, well, this trip for this week on here, we spent $35,000.
$35,000
for a week at Disney. That's resort, fast passes, open parks, food, travel, flights, everything. And he goes, okay. Next person comes by, says, how much you spend? We spent $22,000. He said he interviewed like 15 or 16 people. He said the actual median, the average was like $24,000 was the average week that people were spending as far as at Disney, saving up all year to go give it to a giant, in my opinion, pedophile ring that they have over there. Most cases, not my states, what the Polk County Sheriff's Department says every time they end up doing a giant pedo bust, there's always invariably about 100 plus people that work for Disney that end up on that pedo list and get caught doing it. Just want to throw that out there.
Because not all employees at Disney are pedophiles.
No, I didn't say that.
Make sure we
but invariably documented from arrest files, every time there's a pedo ring bust in Central Florida, the Polk County Sheriff's Department, there are some Disney employees on it every time.
Yeah, but Disney's also one of the largest employers in the Central Florida
area. That is true.
But we got to remember, though, that Disney is a very, very gay organization. Like 70% of the people who work there are gay. Not to say that all gays are pedos, because they're not. But a lot of them are. I will say that.
By the way, average was $25,000 for the week. That's the average that he got out of everybody asking questions on. That's $100,000 a month.
And here's the problem. They put it on credit cards. They pay and they pay the cards off at 28% interest for the next 2 or 3 years.
So they end up paying probably, if they pay $25,000 for the trip, they're going to pay them, depending how fast they pay it off, probably $45,000 for the trip with interest.
Depends on how long it
takes.
Depends
how long they pay it.
But yeah, because if you're looking at 30% interest on $28,000, $25,000, you're looking at $8,000 a year in interest. You're paying $33,000 if you pay it off in a year. And the problem with it is, well, no, you know, I told you that trip we went to Europe, not to Europe, but to Africa for that safari. There was a group of, there were two school teachers with us, and they had borrowed all the money for the trip, and they were paying, they could make the payments.
Let me give you guys
a lot of people do that for vacation.
A little heads up on this if you haven't figured out the math. Here's the problem. So you got the $25,000 you borrowed, credit card, $25,000. You're paying $8,000 a year on that. Well, the thing is, on $25,000, your minimum is only going to be like $250, $400 a month on that.
Oh, yeah, forever.
So what's going to happen is it's going to keep accruing interest. But that amount, as it goes up with interest, you're going to pay interest on the interest. You understand that, right? So once it's at $33,000 because of the interest after the first year and you've only been making minimum payments, that $33,000 gets hit with the 29% interest. So every single month you have accruing interest, and interest keeps getting interest compounded on top of it. That's why if you ever look at one of those statements you get, it says if you make the minimum payment on a $25,000 credit card bill, it's going to take you like 20 years to pay it off, and you got paying $180,000. Mm-hmm. It'll show you the numbers on it right on the statement. So anyway, switching gears, I want to cover this real quick now. Programmable plant vaccines are now becoming a real thing as founder of Moderna launches company to spray crops with RNA to change gene expression and fight climate change. Now, this is wild here. Read this. I want the bottom of it down here. In order to apply Terran solution, users have to spray RNA mixture onto the crops, and plants will absorb the RNA. They explain this how it's accomplished. We know the genes that are responsible for controlling how cold is perceived in this plant. With Terran's product, we can go in during the summer, spray these plants to turn the requirement down. We restore these orchards to productivity during warmer years. After being sprayed, the RNA enters the plant through small tears in the leaves. With this method, Terrano loads the RNAs that act as programmable plant vaccines or proteins that aid in insect resistance or antifungal capabilities. This is how, let's pull up camera forward. So this is what it talks about here in the different platforms, living RNAs that replicate the plant. They have all these different things they can start doing to it. This is really wild. Faster breeding, stress tolerance, disease and pests, no seeds or pits, longer shelf life, traits, color and texture, nutrition and flavor. And this is the weird world that we're living in now with a lot of the food. So this is why I always tell everybody, make sure you're trying to do your best to get high-quality food from local co-ops if you can, local farmers, and make sure you're getting high-quality supplements. Stuff like the Ultimate Multiple, a lot of the other products we carry, we try to make sure that all the ingredients are non-GMO as well, which that becomes difficult and pricey after a while. But like the Ultimate Multiple, the raw nutrients are going to start getting harder and harder to get a hold of in a clean manner because of stuff like this, because everything is going to keep getting – look at what happened with Moderna with glyphosate, how now even organic products, organic produce, even have glyphosate in them now because of the overspray and everything that goes on with it.
Well, a lot of organic products are mislabeled too, bud.
They are.
It's just lying. And that's why so many of them get busted all the time. They say it's organic, and they test it. It's full of all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's why you don't ever buy anything organic if it comes out of China. That's like, I mean, because there are no requirements in China for organic. It's like always buy the label strips and put it on there, and it's...
Oh, by the way, we gave you our little thing the other day about going over and looking at a Ford Lightning. No, that was me, and it was a colossal waste of time, but it did make the show because it did do some research for us.
Yeah.
So I would have done it again, but not again, because I would have liked to have known what really is by the value where these cars are, and there's none. But now the biggest U.S. car maker, General Motors, profits plunge as the CEO admits the hard truth about EVs.
There you go. Okay.
But listen to this. It doesn't end here. This is not what you think it's going to be. America's biggest car maker just posted a steep drop in profits.
Really?
General Motors, the company behind the Chevrolet, the Cadillac, General Motors, GMC, Buick, the GTO, the Pontiac. gone, reported a $1.89 billion net income for the second quarter, a $1.1 billion decline from 2.93 the same period last year. That's a 35% drop in the previous quarter alone. Jeez. That's a huge drop in profits on something this big of a company. The company's falling profits come amid regulatory upheaval and tariff pressure. Earlier this month, Republicans passed a big, beautiful bill which slashed consumer subsidies for electric and plug-in vehicles and rewrote corporate fuel economy targets, seemingly a big blow to carmakers investing in battery-powered models. But despite the political pushback, General Motors, controlled by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, CEO Mary Barra made clear in a letter to shareholders the company isn't backing off EV. It's going to increase the amount of EV it's making, Austin. We're also growing EV because people love the design. Lie, performance, lie, range, lie, and value, lie. And they really love the depreciation curve, lie. She wrote in a shareholder letter Tuesday, despite slower EV industrial growth, we believe the long-term future is profitable for electric vehicle productions. Lie. Until you put charging stations on every corner, it's never going to
exactly
be profitable.
Right.
Wall Street reacted swiftly to the earnings miss, sending GM stock down by 7%. The sell-off this morning is unfair, David Whiston, a car industry analyst of Morningstar, told Daily Mail. Tariffs took a lot out of earnings, but that should have been expected by the market. In May, General Motors lowered its full-year profit forecast and said it expects to spend between $4 and $5 billion complying with trade policies. Now, this is an interesting thing that most of the people don't realize. Back in the 60s, everybody said, however General Motors goes, so goes the United States of America's economy.
Yeah.
It was that big because they didn't have Toyota in here and Nissan and everything else.
Like goes,
the company's best-selling cars are Chevy, Chevy Silverado, and GMC Sierra produced the most profits and subsidized the EVs.
Same as Ford.
But she says, you know, she basically says that they're going to continue doing it. GM is also investing heavily in new better battery technology. And he goes, the EV plan seems to be continuing to have more product choices, increasing EV sales mix. Now, I talked to a dealership this morning, and I sent them this link, the owner of a dealership. General Motors dealership. And then he said to me, they just wouldn't listen to the dealership and they still refuse to because the dealerships don't want these. I'm adding that.
Yeah.
You can see the stress on her face. So terrible how they won't let it go. I get it. They want to build some products, but they wasted billions of dollars on this stuff.
Well, and here's the issue that's happening now is everybody has had a couple years now of getting completely burned on the resale of these things.
Doggy.
Here's a perfect example. These are 22, 23, 24 F-150 Lightnings. Those are the one he drove the other day because he wanted to play around with it. It was $89,000 sticker. Brand new, 25 just came in, $89,000 sticker.
Platinum
loaded. You got 22s and 23s here, 46, 47, 48. I mean, some of these have no miles on, 9,000 miles.
Remember, this is the retail they're asking. This is not what they gave on trade.
I was just about to say, this is what the dealership's doing after they bought the car. They're reselling it. Most dealerships try to have about a 15 to 20% margin now after COVID, which means they probably put in these trucks 30, 35, $90,000 sticker 2-3 years ago. And so what's happened is it's not funny anymore.
70% loss.
Right. It's now, I mean, so everybody's going in, they're going, I just paid 90 grand for this. I stretched out 84 months. I got $1,000 a month payments. I still owe 75 on this. I know, we're offering you 30. Ooh. Now I'm $30,000, $40,000 upside down.
Well, you might as well get out of the depreciation curve now because you ride it all the way down to zero when these batteries expire. That truck will be worth nothing, but we're giving you $35,000 now. Sorry for you. I'm sorry we did this to you, but life does go on. What do you want to do? You want to go ahead and go all the way to zero on the value, or you want us to go ahead and be nice to you and give you $35,000 on the $90,000 truck you bought? You're like, you're not being nice at all. This is horrible. Well, yeah, we're going to spin it this way so you don't feel so bad.
Well, here's what we can do. We can roll your $40,000 negative equity
into another
vehicle.
Into another EV.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And boy, we'll give you a big discount on the new EV. It gives you a cost.
And we haven't even seen what happens with this market once these EV subsidy rebates come.
They were giving us $11,000 in subsidies.
Yeah.
And it was what was interesting is one of the sales guys thought that we would be getting the subsidy directly back to us, remember? And then the guy goes, no, it comes directly to the dealership
now.
To cut the cost down.
Yeah. So, again, don't want to be rude and say I told you so to everybody that I said to stay out of these back 3-4 years ago. I remember the F-150 Lightnings came out. Dealers were getting $10,000-$15,000 over sticker because everybody wanted to have the new fastest F-150 Lightning.
It is quick.
Well, you know what makes me so mad about it is they took that name from the mid-2000s when they actually had the regular cab F-150 Lightning.
That's a fast truck.
Which is a pretty cool truck.
Gas hog, but fast.
Gas hog, but cool truck, man. And back in the day, I mean, it was a lot. It was 460 horsepower, I think, from what it was. It was a lot of juice back in, 2002. And then Dodge goes, hold my beer. We're putting an 8.4 liter V10 in our SRT10 regular cab. 6-speed manual. The Dodge came out and put the dog on that Viper motor in the Dodge Ram, yeah. The regular cab. And then the F-150 Lightning kind of was like, Oh, well. Yeah,
that Dodge, that V10 is a gas hog.
Oh, but you didn't buy that truck as a gas hog. You bought it as a regular pickup truck with a V10.
It would tow anything.
Oh, yeah. It smoked tires off like they were gone.
Well, the biggest problem with the Lightning and all those trucks is there's no weight in the back. And so that was the one thing nice about the Lightning is it had two motors, one in the front and in the back. It was four-wheel drive all the time.
Yeah, with the electric one, yeah. But, again, how much money do you want to lose?
70% of my investment strategy here goes into this. Can you imagine?
That's an expensive strategy.
If you bought a fleet of those for your company, you would literally bankrupt your company.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think about fleet buying on them.
We need 20 of these. Oh boy, okay. Have fun with that. a couple of years from now and all these batteries are done, we got a zero value on those. I hope you'd appreciate it down to nothing.
Good gravy. This is an interesting article. It's kind of a bubblegum article. It says, will the box office ever return to pre-pandemic levels? And their conclusion in this is no. Americans have gotten very complacent, lazy.
Well, they want to sit home now, stream.
But it also says, too, it brings up here, is that Hollywood has completely lost touch with consumers now. Is that all these studios and a lot of these directors and producers, all they want to do is produce stuff that pushes their agenda and doesn't quite actually sell anything. Disney's gotten the worst out of this. And it says people are starting to embrace the streaming as alternative means of distribution now. There's a lot of movies that come out, they're not even going to the movie theater anymore. They're not even wasting time going to the movie. They just go straight to Netflix or streaming services now. But I've always enjoyed movies.
Well, that Superman's done about $400 million globally, which I never thought it would.
I think
it's because of the dog, because people love dogs.
I think the thing about it is there's certain movies that don't really make sense to go to the movie theater. They're just like, whatever. But then you got movies like Top Gun Maverick.
Oh my gosh.
Like watching that movie in the IMAX over in Lakeland versus watching it on TV at home. You can't even compare the two.
Oh, by the way, here's an article. Your loneliness is literally killing you. This is an interesting article. And, that's one of the things that I really appreciate when you guys send us letters and say that, that you love to watch this show every day because it feels like you're here in the house with us and you're basically part of our family, which you are, in the studio with us. And you invite us into your home. And a lot of people say that, we're the best company they have. And thank you for that, because I feel the same way about you guys. If it wasn't for you guys supporting us, we wouldn't be here. But it says, in the recent most connected era in human history, people are dying of loneliness, roughly 100 every hour, according to Grimney Report. That's more than 871,000 people a year. To put it in perspective, loneliness is outpacing some of our deadliest diseases and doing it while we're technically more connected than any other point in human history. The WHO's new report from Loneliness to Social Connection, charting the path to healthier societies, explains that loneliness is the gnawing feeling you get when your social life doesn't match what you want. Social isolation is the objective absence of the social contract. Both are bad for you. The risks of loneliness run the gamut. Listen to this. Stroke, heart disease, dementia, particularly dementia, diabetes, depression, and straight-up early death. Loneliness is a biological bomb threatened to ruin not just your social life, but your actual lifespan on Earth. Despite the infinite scroll and likes that social media promises, the digital age appears to be exacerbating this issue, particularly for younger generations and individuals in low and middle income countries who have a large influence on their social media but have no friends whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're by themselves all the time.
I know.
And so everybody's living online, too, but basically they're living vicariously through somebody else or through somebody's likes on Facebook.
Well, that's exactly what's happened now with social media. There's an article here. I'm going to get into it tomorrow. And it's a full research study that just came out now. And it said children who get iPhones and social media before the age of 13 have an enormously higher level of depression now and suicide. This is a rough research study, but I'm going to go into it in detail tomorrow, so get ready for it. This is why I've told you guys to make sure you're keeping your kids off the digital media and the social media and all these platforms and having an iPhone before 13. This is a really, really hardcore directed research study they want to do with this, and they're finding a direct correlation with depression and suicide with younger kids when they get phones and they get social media before the age of 13. I'm letting you know this.
Well, what happens is they go into a digital fantasy world.
Exactly right.
And you see it when you go out on a date. I don't care what your age is. You'll see people that are the younger generations, and some people even the older generations, they want to sit on their telephones during a date. They have a live person with them, and they can't get off their telephones. Do you realize how incredibly rude that is? I don't care who you're talking to or who you're texting. You have a live person you're supposed to be interacting with right there with you. If you go on a date, do yourself a favor, unless you've got young children and somebody has to be able to get in touch with you. Leave your stinking telephone in the car. That goes for both people.
Well, yeah, especially unless it's like a first date or something. I wouldn't recommend that from a security standpoint. I mean,
on a security
standpoint. Yeah, but if you're having a private, and you know each other, you're friends with each other, and you want to have a real directed.
Well, then you have to say, at least they can track you, know where you are. But remember, though, never go out on a date unless you're going to be in a public area to start with. That's number one. And never go out with somebody that you haven't video chatted with. That's number two. And number three, you might want to do a background check on before you go out with them, and never get in their car with them. I don't care if you're male or female. Just stay away from situations that can get you in trouble. Really, really, really important.
But when it comes to the kids, man, it's you got to be really cautious this now, because now it's not just, oh, I'm going to be accidentally or willfully ignorant about this. Now it's like I'm going to directly ignore research that's showing if I give my kids social media and iPhones before 13, I am going to increase the probability of depression and possible suicidal thoughts. I'm being that direct with you guys now. Now the research is showing out. We've had enough time now. So make sure you're keeping your kids healthy and wealthy and mentally strong. The back-to-school kit we have with the Ultimate Multiple Chewable and fish cod liver oil. This is a really good kit that I threw together years ago. I've kept the price low on it. It's pretty much the essentials for young kids with the multiple chewable. It's the D3, vitamin C. You know, can you take higher doses of it? Yes. Can you add more into it? Yes. But these two, as far as a basis, are really good. That children's DHA, to be honest with you, this is probably the best flavored cod I've ever tasted as far as strawberry. Well, they did a great job with it. I can't match it.
One project at the office of Chewable Vitamin C.
They make the same things, Nordic Naturals.
Oh, my gosh.
Their flavoring they have, completely natural, no synthetics, no artificial flavors or colors. That company's done really well with it. And so we've been distributing for them for years, but I put this kit together, discounted it to really bring it out. And there's another study I'm going to cover tomorrow, too. This is a big one. It says antidepressants during pregnancy are now directly direct risk to birth defects now. Doctors tell FDA.
There was a doctor over there in Lakeland. She shouldn't be considered a doctor. She's a quack. And I mean, she's prescribing antidepressants for morning sickness.
The thing is, high doses of vitamin C and B6 together actually can really help out with morning sickness in many cases now. I've personally seen that with a lot of individuals. But when you're pregnant, be really cautious what you're putting in your body, especially when it comes to drugs.
You're building a brain.
Yeah. That's why I got so mad when people started coming out and they got on television like Walensky, that piece of crap CDC director during COVID. She goes, every pregnant woman needs to go get a COVID vaccine immediately now. It's safe and effective. And now we're finding out it was not safe and effective. It was horrific. And so make sure you're
placental
watching
placental detachment, a lot of miscarriages.
And so be sure to check the specials out on the website, the Ultimate Multiple Chewable or Capsules. It's Wednesday. Y'all voted Product of the Week. That'll be changing later on the day for the cinnamon extract. So if you want to grab the multiple caps, that'll be on later on throughout the day right now, because I usually run it for the afternoon. But cinnamon extract will be changing. But, guys, we appreciate your support. You guys need anything, we got kits, specials, all types of stuff we constantly have on the website. Be sure to check it out. Sign up for the newsletter on the Brower Show. It's a big deal. That way you don't even have to look for anything. You go straight to the site, right on the link, right to the show, right to sales, right there for you guys. So thank you for the support. Get the truth out there. Stay healthy. That's one of the most effective things you can do right now. Keep your brain strong. Keep your body strong. If your brain's strong, your body's strong, you're going to continue to push the truth out there because you feel great. If you feel good, you're going to get stuff done.
And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I mean, I hope and pray that Ozzy Osbourne got saved. I do. But that's not something anybody should say about anybody who listens to this show. We should know that you're saved, that you're right with God, because we talk about it all the time. And don't wait until you're on your deathbed to accept Jesus. What's the point of that? I mean, live your life according to what he wants you to do. Not that we're going to be perfect, but at least try to do what he wants. That's very, very important that we all understand that, because if we don't understand that, what we do is we put ourselves into a situation where it keeps getting worse and worse and worse in our lives, culminating with having made so many bad choices and decisions and hanging out with so many bad people that the whole sum total of our life becomes a mess. We don't want that. Keep your hearts and your life and your mind and your hearts and your associations right with Christ. And if you are dealing with loneliness, find yourself a church locally that's good, that you have fellowship with everybody, and realize that a lot of times when you're alone, if you pray and you study and you read the Word of God, that you can actually get words from the Holy Spirit from that and make sure that you realize that the most important thing is to maintain fellowship with God, and then go ahead and get a good church focus group and start going to church and being involved in your local church. It's a lot better than sitting around the house by yourself. I promise you.
You guys stay healthy. Appreciate y'all. Talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.
And thanks again for your support. Without you, we wouldn't be here.